This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Well, I've made it back safely from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention, and I've got lots of good interviews to share with you over the coming weeks, but we'll start off this morning with some news about the weather. Government weather forecasters say that La Nina has officially arrived and will likely affect American weather patterns into next year. La Nina is the periodic cooling of water in the Central Pacific Ocean that affects weather patterns around the world. An Associated Press article says current predictions say La Nina has a good chance to hang around into February. Mike Halper of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, says it's anticipated to be a weak and short-lived event. In the U.S., a typical La Nina means wetter weather in the northern Rockies, Pacific Northwest, and the Ohio Valley. It usually means a drier winter in Southern California, the Southeast, and the Southern Plains. The most recent NOAA forecast called for a wet winter in the northern Rockies, Great Lakes region, Hawaii, and western Alaska. NOAA called for warmer and drier than normal conditions in the south, while the nation's midsection was called a toss-up in the most recent forecast. Well, in some other news, a cover crop field day is scheduled for this week Wednesday at CHS in Shipman. The Macoupin County Farm Bureau and Macoupin County Soil and Water Conservation District are both sponsoring the event, and Christine Goldstein, who's a soil conservationist in the county and also a member of the Farm Bureau's Young Leader Committee, has the details.
We have a field day coming up on November 16th, and it's going to be out at CHS at Shipman and their meeting room, and we're going to start registration about 8:30. We'll start the presentations around 9, and what we're going to have is we're going to have several good speakers. We've got Dan Towery from Ag Solutions from Indiana coming. We've got John Pike from down by Marion, and they're going to kind of do a tag team presentation on the cover crop fundamentals. You know, what cover crops should you plant before beans and which ones should you plant before corn? You know, benefits and disadvantages of your cover crops before which cash crops. They're also going to talk about the residual herbicides. You know, what herbicides are you putting on your corn and beans that could affect how your cover crops come up? And then they're finally going to get into warm season cocktail mixes after wheat. You know, what can you plant maybe after you take your wheat crop off? We're also going to have Scott Waltman from La Crosse Seeds talking about kind of a new thing for this area where they're interseeding crimson clover at the V3 to V6 stage of corn. And what they do with that is essentially you plant the cover crop in that stage, and then it sprouts, and then it goes dormant as the corn kind of shades it out. And then once you harvest your corn, your cover crops are there. They're already planted. You don't have to worry about the added time of frame. And the crimson clover is a good nitrogen fixer, and it helps hold the ground plus fix nitrogen throughout the winter for you.
And the crimson clover, that's something that you told me that's not being done currently around this area, but the speakers that are going to be there, they do have experience with that and can share a lot of knowledge about it.
Yeah, we actually specifically chose these speakers because we've talked to several landowners around here, and we kind of figured out what they wanted to know. You know, there's a lot of landowners that are experimenting with cover crops in the county and surrounding area, but there's a lot yet to learn. And crimson clover is nice because, as far as I know, that you can seed it up until the middle of October, so it's a later seeding one even in the fall. But by doing this interseeding, you know, guys are always busy in the fall trying to get their crops out and not thinking about cover crops. If you can get it on and have it there for you whenever you're ready and you're harvested, you still got your cover crops, and you've got the benefit of the nitrogen fixing. So, yeah, we're excited about when we heard about this. We wanted to bring a speaker in that had experience with this to kind of give us information as well as the public.
Well, it sounds like from what you're explaining, the nitrogen fixing is really one of the main benefits. But you being a soil conservationist, obviously that's your job, so you've got a lot of background and knowledge about the benefits that cover crops can bring. So just any of those that you'd like to mention just to make farmers aware?
Yeah, I mean, cover crops, the big thing that we're looking for is erosion control, obviously, to help hold the soil. But if you look into the soil health, it kind of helps with the soil health as well because you've got added organic matter. You've got something, the living roots for those microbes to feed on over the winter, so that way those microbes can live and thrive year-round. And then also, it can be cover and food for wildlife as well. And there's a lot of cover crops out there that are deep-rooted cover crops. You know, you got your radishes and your turnips and your cereal rye and annual ryegrass that can send roots down 2, 3, 4 feet deep and they kind of help break up compaction as well. So it's cover crops have a lot of added benefits to the areas and to your soil for long-term health. And like I said, there's a lot of guys that are already doing cover crops, but they're just experimenting and they're learning about them as they go. So we're just trying to get more variety of speakers in just to kind of show what you can all do with cover crops.
I wanted to visit with you a little bit more about the compaction issue because I hear this talked about a lot, but if you could, from your soil conservationist aspect, explain the benefits of that loosening the soil and then what that does for the crops when you go to plant your corn and beans in the spring.
Yeah, basically, you know, a lot of guys do a lot of tillage, but inputs and fuel gets expensive over a while. And cover crops, obviously, the seed's not free, but at the same time, it has the other added benefits in addition to the compaction thing. And if you think about most of your tillage operations, other than your deep rippers, most of them aren't getting very deep. And so what you're doing with the cover crops, like I said, cereal rye can go, I've heard talks of it going 40 to 50 inches deep, the roots and systems. So think about, you know, a corn root or a bean root going down, and when it's growing, it's going to follow the channels of least resistance. So not only does it create these channels where the roots can go down and get deeper, anchor, and get more nutrients and more water, but it also adds organic matter. And each percentage of organic matter that you add adds so much more water holding capacity to the soil. It opens up the soil for infiltration. So instead of having the water running off in the spring, it's able to infiltrate better and get down there. And then you have the long-term storage of that water later in the year. If it does dry off a little bit, it helps hold that water in there for crop use later on.
Well, it just sounds like a number of benefits, and I'm sure farmers can get more information about those at the cover crop meeting. So if you could remind us again where and when that's taking place.
Yeah, so the cover crop meeting is November 16th from 8:30 to 2. So the morning portion will be the presentations, and then we'll have a lunch. So if you'd like to come, please RSVP at our office. If you could call the Soil and Water office at 854-2626 extension 3, RSVP. And then in the afternoon, we're actually got some cover crop plots that we've got planted out there. We've got 10 different trial plots of different species, not just crimson clover and radishes, but we've also got hairy vetch and Austrian winter peas and some ones that aren't used around here as much to kind of look at. So we'll have those in the afternoon to view. The field day is mostly sponsored by the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. We've got a nutrient stewardship grant in the area that sponsored 2 field days last year, and we had a no-till strip-till one in the spring, and then this is our second one. But we've also got sponsorship by the Macoupin County Soil and Water Conservation District to help out with the field day.
Again, that was Christine Goldstein, who is a soil conservationist for Macoupin County NRCS. And that's all we have this morning for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.